Thanks. We are on. We are in Sefer Tovah Shavuot. Shavuot Elokim, Perek Dalet. Harehit Ba'er. Based on what we spoke about yesterday, it's become clear to us. Shekol Pulat Adam Shemutar Alatan in Ober Geder Mitzvah, Ober Geder Avera, Ober Geder Chiyuni. Everything that we do is in one of three categories. Either it's a mitzvah to do, or it's an Avera to do, or it's essential to do. Not mitzvah and avera, but it's important. All the mitzvah things. He called mashu bechut negeder chiyoni. Beinim hu bechlal miyutar. Beinim hu istakut yitera. Beachreach hu nichlal o begeder mitzvah o shina aseres im hu aseres shem shemayim o begeder avera im ein hu aseres shem shemayim. Kasher nachkor chiyoni atzmo. פעולות שנכרחיות כדי להגיע למזון בעולם. So there are three categories. The category of mitzvah, the category of avera, and the category of essential. Within the category of essential, let's discuss that a little bit. One example of something that's essential is whatever you do to work in order to have food, in order to survive, in order to take care of your family. נמצא שאנו מצווים לעשותן. If you think about it, that's also a mitzvah. As it says in the beginning of יצירת העולם, ויברך אותם אלוקים ויאמר להם השם אלוקים פרו ורבו ומילאו את הארץ וכבשוה. The pasuk instructing Adam HaRishon says, develop the world, conquer the world, fill the world, conquer the world. הנה נתתי לכם את כל עשב זרע זרע אשר על פני כל הארץ. The pasuk continues and says, and to that end I've given you all the produce of the world. הרי שהפעולות שנכרחיות להשגת המזון הן נכנסות לכל מצוות, you see from here. Hashem has given you a commandment to conquer the world, take care of yourself. He's given you the physical world for you to do that by. So therefore, don't think of all the work that you do as something which is outside of the midst of the world. If you're doing it in a way which is halachically forbidden, if you're charging rivets, if you're overcharging, if you're stealing, if you're lying, then it's begeder avera. And anything you're doing to take care of your financial status, to take care of yourself, which is halachically permissible, then it's in the category of a mitzvah, by taking care of yourself. ומאחר שדברכנו נמצא שכל מעשה בני אדם לא יוצא מן הכלל, הם או בגדר מצווה או בגדר עבירה. Therefore, there's no such thing which you ever do which is neutral. There's no neutral ground. There's no area which is stump. There's no stump Jew. There's no such thing as someone in a different vein, but a similar idea. I don't think everyone, when they hear this, what I'm about to say now, would initially agree with it, but I think if you contemplate it, you see that it's true. Whenever you interact with another person, even if you ask, what's the time, or some like very, very basic, simple question, it always moves you either closer to that person or pushes you further away. And when it's a big conversation, like you're opening up your emotional world, then you're going to feel it in a strong way. And when you just say to them a passing comment, then it's much more subtle. But you're able to read their eyes, and you read the vibe you get from them. And if you get a Shalom Aleichem back in return, even if it's not a Shalom Aleichem, but you just sense that they care for you, and they responded, you subtly feel yourself, this is a nice guy. And if subtly you feel that they didn't really have interest to respond to you, then you pick up in your inner world a sense of, oh, that wasn't a good interaction. Sometimes you don't even notice it outwardly. So with time and with time and with time of it happening, you get a sense of like you don't feel like saying Shalom Aleichem to someone. You don't even know why. But it's because of the subtle what you picked up from them, of the negative feedback that you got from them. So pay attention to that. But in a similar vein, of how every interaction of people that you have either brings you closer or pushes you further away, so too in Avodat Hashem, not only the mitzvahs and the averas, which obviously bring you closer, or obviously push you away, but even in a more subtle way, there are things that look to us to be rishus, they look to us to be neutral, but when you're sensitive, just like the Shalom Aleichem to a person, because they bring you closer or pushing you further away. When you're sensitive, even the neutral things, due to your mindset, I'll either bring you closer or pushing you further away. And therefore there's no such thing as neutral. Because even the middle area, you're coming close to Hashem, you're moving away from Hashem. So everything ends up being either a mitzvah or another area. Kol oste maase, eze maase shezie, imu begeda mitzvah, hu maase tov. Im ein adam oste oto, lamot sheish lo yocholet, הרי הוא עובר על ציווי הבורא. מי שעושה עבירה הוא חוטא. ואם אין עובר על עבירה הוא צדיק. אתם תגידו את זה? If you have a very opportunity and you don't do it, it's all a tzaddik. People often think, I'm only telling if I do a good thing. But I held back from doing a bad thing, and I'm just neutral. Where do we learn that from in 2 weeks ago's parsha? An amazing chinuch insight. Amazing. If a child doesn't do something wrong, do you praise them? Or no, like they're supposed to not do wrong things. You shouldn't praise them for that. From a chinuch perspective, are they a tzaddik for not doing a bad thing? Or no, they're not supposed to do bad things. That's obvious. Do you know where from? Where do we see it? Rashi and our particular question.
It doesn't depend on whether it was
typical
for them or not. So for example, if they don't do something which is like not even question for them.
Enough. Something which could have been an option for them to do, and it would have been in their world to do, and they had the opportunity to do it, and they didn't do it. Is that expected, or do they deserve praise for that because of, you know where from? From, you know what? Avraham Avinu praises Lot for not telling on the fact that he's hidden Sarah in the box. And he gets rewarded for that. Why does he get rewarded? Just keep quiet. Don't do a bad thing. Don't tell. You have to go and help. Don't just be passive, be neutral, don't tell. You see from there the concept that if it's an opportunity to do something bad, you can say, hey, he's hiding his wife. You could have an opportunity to do that and you hold back. That's considered a mitzvah. That's the phrase he says here. אם הוא אינו עובר על עבירה, הרי הוא צדיק. מתוך יראת השם. So just as a chinuch perspective, it's healthy. When you have children, and you see them, and you know that in other scenarios, they may do a bad thing, or other kids in that same situation may do a bad thing, and you point it out, and you say to them, I see you have self-control, I see you have a strong will. That was an expression of Yirat Shamayim that said that you could have shouted back, you could have hit back, you could have taken an extra something and you helped, and you didn't. That was amazing. You praise them and they learned that they're tzaddikim for having the ability to hold back from doing bad things, as opposed to only ever mentioning when they do a bad thing. And then saying, why are you always doing bad things? Always? Do you know how many not bad things I've done that you didn't notice? And then the one time I did a bad thing, you pick up on it. That's a healthy way of building a child. ואם הוא עושה אחת מהפעולות המותרות, שאינן לא בגדר מצווה ולא בגדר עבירה, אם הוא עושה אותה בצורה שקולה ונכונה, הוא צדיק. So we were just referring to the middle area. There's no middle area. But if you do something which is permissible, and if you do it from a place that you've thought through, this is probably the right thing to do. For example, let's say that you see someone and you greet them. Now greeting them, you might say to them, you might just say just being present, just being polite. If you do it from a place of thinking, I want to make that person happy, I want to do good for them. So it enters the category of mitzvah. And you come close to because it's horrible to do that. And if you say, I feel like I need to do some sport, I'm not feeling myself, I'm not feeling fit. You're not doing it from a place of wanting to show how many centimeters the biceps are. You're just doing it from just being healthy and just being fit. That's where it's coming from in you. So it's a neutral thing, but it's not. Because it's bringing you close to Hashem. Because it might, just like greeting someone is a neutral area, but it always brings you closer, takes you further away. If you're doing something with the mindset of, this is what needs to be done. This is, milu et olam v'kevshua. This is fulfilling the world. Fulfilling my purpose in the world. Part of it all is to have a healthy body so I can function well. Do kindness with my body. Like I do kindness with a poor person who comes. I do kindness with an animal who comes. So it comes to my physical body when it needs a little more energy. You have that perspective and it's not a neutral, it's a mitzvah. as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Tov ish chonen u'malveh yichalkel divra v'mishpat. Ve'im u'mosif al ha'midah ha'chachi, if he's doing the bypass, meaning he's fit, he's healthy, he has energy, he's strong, so why are you doing it now? To show off. Make a name for yourself. It's cool. Someone else did it. There's peer pressure. I don't know. All other reasons. It's mosif alechachi. No longer a point which is necessary. So, it's pushing you away from Hashem. Or literal words were, you're reducing your avodat Hashem. Because with time, being involved in things which you don't need, the more you get involved in things you don't need them, then you become subject to a world which is unnecessary. And that pushes you away from Hashem. So if you've thought through that the reason we need to focus is because it gives you chiyus, it gives you vitality, you need a break from learning and that gives you a break to come back and play, then it's not a problem at all. It gives you chiyus. But let's say you just decide you want to read the full Harry Potter series. Stop. You don't need a break. You don't need it. It's not that you need chiyus. You're just like, you heard it's a good book. It's not that you're imbalanced emotionally and you now need something just to like ground you or calm you. It's not that you're sad and you need to be more happy, that's going to cheer up. Nothing. Stop. A way of killing time. So you go and read the book, and now he's pushing you away from Hashem. But if a person is in yeshiva and needs a break, or if interesting information he feels will help him in some way in life, or gives him calmness, it's beneficial for him, and it's in the category of building. And if you're sensitive, you can tell. You can tell which way it is. ואם הוא פוחד מהמידה החיונית למרות שיש תכונתו להגיע למידה זו. Now there's also the other extreme. It is a person, and this doesn't happen as often, but it does happen in yeshiva, where a person doesn't give himself enough of what he needs. That's also an avodah. If a person needs a certain amount of sleep, if a person needs a certain amount of food, if a person needs a certain amount of social interaction, and he's too focused on one specific aspect of avodat Hashem, which might be learning right now, and then he doesn't give himself his basic needs, which then wears him down and causes him eventually to burn out, he's held accountable for that. Because he's pushing himself away from Hashem. I don't remember many people like that. But I could probably get to 10 people that I recall in the 20 years I was in Keren Byavne, who pushed themselves too far to a point where they snapped. Maybe 5. 4 come to mind immediately, probably another couple. Where they didn't sleep enough, didn't eat enough, and pushed themselves in learning without proportion. Without reason. They knew it wasn't good, but they couldn't hold themselves back. They just felt too empowered. And people all said to them, you must calm down, and they saw that as the Sahara. And they just kept going until the point where they couldn't learn anymore, they couldn't think. They weren't able to think. Because their mind had snapped. And of all those people, none of them came back to yeshiva normal. Some of them took a break for a long time and then went to another place or came back here and didn't do as well as they'd done before. But none of those people I'm immediately thinking of were able to continue even after a break functioning in yeshiva normal. That's also a self-inflicted avera. Even though they had good intentions, you could have good intentions and still not do the will of Hashem. Doesn't make it better. It's a pity. It's a pity. And a lot of causes. And they misuse them. There's either extreme is an avera. And it's all in the area of neutral. They didn't do an avera in 613. But they weren't bad. There's a healthy area of doing it. Like if a person wants to control his desire, that he can channel his desire towards Hashem. Or he doesn't want to give in to eating things that are tasty to him because he wants to have self-control. That's still good. That person could still be a tzaddik. But if he's not doing it in Hashem Shammai, and he's doing it because he wants to show how many hours they can learn or he's because he's stingy and he doesn't want to spend money on certain things which are going to help him, like that's why he's not eating enough, then that's taking him away from Hashem. It's a negative thing. Someone who's intelligent, he's someone who is always thinking about his actions and contemplating where they lie. Because if you're not sensitive, you don't pay attention, you could be in an area which is against the will of Hashem and not even realize. You could be either going over and doing, being too involved in the world, you could be under and not involved in the world enough, and not even realize there's an issue there. But just feel like that's just who I am, that's what I do. And therefore someone who's a Baal Seichel, someone who's always contemplating his way, and you can't know more than you know. Hashem will hold you accountable for more than you could understand at any given time. To whatever degree you can understand yourself at any given time, sometimes with reading, sometimes with aids from people that you speak to, sometimes just by paying attention, it's obligated to do. And you're held accountable if you're not looking your own way, and if it feels like you're leading your life in the wrong path. The interesting thing, sometimes you have people who have a shocking life experience. They're in a car crash, or they were almost in a car crash. Something like big happens to them. And then they say, I reassessed my whole life. And I said, what's really important to me? And sometimes you have people who are in that situation where they're working and working and working, and then they say, why am I working so much? I have enough money. They need to spend more time doing things that are more important. And then because of that shake that they had, when they were taken out of the context of you can exist and continue to exist without thinking, and they realize it's not taken for granted that you exist, that's someone who wasn't thinking. And he allowed himself to get into a rut, which he was successful in. It was unhealthy for him. Maybe it was healthy for his bank account, that it might not have been healthy for his family or his spiritual growth, but he wasn't thinking. He was just flowing, going with the flow. And sometimes you have people who are on another extreme, who deprive themselves of things from a place of being stingy or a place of a misconception, and really they could benefit from having more. They could benefit from having more things, and it would help their avodat Hashem. But they just think that's out of their league, or it's out of their realm. And I'll give you an example. I've sometimes met people and spoken to them, and they weren't so into Torah learning, the outside issue. And I suggested, like, why don't you do a Mishnah a day, two Mishnahs a day, or Daf Yomi, you know, who they were, where they were. And their mindset was one of like, oh yeah, that's for the rabbi, that's like way above me, only for people who are like, oh, I'm not there. And you say, no, but you can do in English. You can, you know, there's Roi Shif, what is this thing called?
Time
for Mishnah. But you don't have to know anything. You can just like read it in English and you can hear a nice British accent explaining what the Mishnah means. And you don't have to have any background for that. It's like very clear. And the reason they know is because they think that's like, that's way above me. And it's really not. It's really not. And if Chas v'Shalom would happen, that person's kid was sick. And the Rav would say, if you start learning Mishnayos, then it will be a merit for your son. They would definitely do it. They would definitely say, okay, I need to take action. I need to do something. What can I do? A Mishnah day. I'll do a Mishnah day. They'll be happy to do it. But they don't estimate themselves as great enough to get involved in doing it. It's not part of their world. So that's a person who's not thinking. They're not thinking deeply about who they are and what their abilities are. They just have a rut. They're stuck in their rut. And I don't know, I don't do that. I don't see people in my community doing that. People in my community don't do that, Yomi. It's not a thing we do. In my community, there's a shiur and shabbat, that's what we do. Yeah, but you're an intelligent person. You have free time in the evening. Do a daf yomi. That's ideal. Maybe if I lived in Lakewood. And they, you can, but you don't see yourself in that way. That's all someone's not thinking. And if a person contemplated, they would analyze, they would say, am I able to do it? Do I have the capability? Do I have the time? I do, I am. So why do you do it? No, I just never thought about it. It never occurred to me that's part of my work. The first condition of being an Evod Hashem is that you're a thinking individual, you're paying attention to your life, you're paying attention to your abilities, you're paying attention to your actions, and you see where they lie. And you don't allow yourself to get into a rut where you just are because you were yesterday. I learned from a text, my instruction. I forgot who he said in the name of. His daughter's getting married in 2 days. Very nice. Someone who learns in Karen Bevan, which is even mine. So, I heard from him this idea. He said, the Avraham Avinu says, Vanochi Afar Ve'if. What's the difference between dust and ashes? Ashes is dust is something which is ready for you to use to build, but you haven't yet built anything with it. Like you take earth and you mix it with water and you can make bricks. Ashes is something which already existed and it was burnt and it ceased to exist. Right? That's the difference. You don't build with ashes. You do build with earth. They said what Avraham Avinu was saying is, Anochi, I am in a state of Afar Ve'if, constantly building myself and taking myself apart. And then rebuilding myself and say, that's okay. I'm in a constant analyzing who I am. Doing a cheshbon nefesh, checking if what I'm doing now. Don't be crazy. Like, you have to have a flow of trying out something and letting it see if it works for you. On a moment-to-moment basis, you can't do that. Am I doing right? Wait, let me do it. Wait, am I sitting in the right position? You'll go crazy if you do that. Right? But every like normal period of time, I can't judge how long normal it is. Right? You'll get the sense to me. But like, you start a new idea and you check in how the idea is going. Is it going well? You're learning a certain thing, governing, whatever it is. Take a little mini project. And you just keep checking in. How is it going? Where is it going? Can I improve? How would I improve? If you're working on a particular major, once a week is a very spare time. Take out a Kabbalah, on a daily basis you do something, and then within a few days, 5 days, a week, you check in, how's the Kabbalah going for me? Can I change it? Can I build it? Can I take more? Is it too much? You reanalyze the whole time. And that's based on the pasuk, Chishavti Derechai, I contemplated my way, Va'ashiva Raglai, and I returned my legs, which is Herga, which is like your flow, what you naturally do, El Edotech. Ultimately, if you're always contemplating your way, you'll be ensuring that your flow, your natural sense of being, will always bring you back to Hashem. Chashti, I was quick, Veloy Pahamati, I didn't delay, Vishmor Mikotech. I'm not allowing myself to delay. Delay is the Yitzhak. Delay is the difference between Chamek, Matzah and Chamek. Delay is where don't think about it, not so fast, just let it happen, let it develop. You'll see how you'll go, you'll come home, you'll be home for a little bit, you'll be more comfortable again with the computer, you'll just see how things are and everything, you'll be more comfortable with who you were, you'll be able to get back to, like, just don't get into, just like let it happen, let it develop, let it, that's the yeast, that's the benefit. But David HaMelech was saying, I'm always contemplating, am I in a good place? Is this what's good for me? Chashti, v'lo itmamati. And I'm always quick to act. The Shmo Vesecha, the God of me. The summer's what we said today. There's no such area as neutral. Just like in a relationship, any interaction you have will bring you closer or further away in a subtle manner. Also in Avodat Hashem, any neutral action either brings you closer or further away. It's what you need to do when you're contemplating, you sort it through, everything will be bringing you closer to Hashem. And if you're just flowing, you're not contemplating, you're just allowing things to happen, whatever happens, it's likely that you'll be out of sync in one of the two directions. Either you'll be doing much more involved in the world than you used to be, or less involved in what you used to be. And because you haven't contemplated it, and you're allowing the hefkerus, the weeds, to sprout, as opposed to the neatly planted garden to blossom.